to the Juju Tetas podcast. My name is Stacy. I am a Juju Teta, and this is my podcast. Welcome back, everyone. In this episode, I sat down with Professor Allison Tremblay. She is a third-degree black belt under Brazilian Top Team. Allison is somebody who started jiu-jitsu when she was a teen, young adult. So she has the experience of growing up with jiu-jitsu, which is a very interesting perspective. And she even has a lot of crossover with the other ladies that you've heard who started jiu-jitsu maybe a little bit later. So this was a really great conversation. I had so much fun talking with her, and I hope that you have just as much fun listening to the interview. So, without further ado, here is Allison Tremblay. All right, I am here with Allison Tremblay. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me on. Like we were saying before, this is I love podcasts. I think it's such a cool way to like have conversations with people, get to know people. It's one of my favorite mediums right now.
Mine too. And I said this before we started recording, but I have been having so much fun talking with everyone, hearing their stories, chatting, like fangirling.
Yeah, it's super fun.
It's been so much fun. So, Allison, can you please introduce yourself for the podcasting audience?
Yeah, absolutely. So like you mentioned, my name is Allison Tremblay. I live in a small town just like 30 minutes west of Ottawa. It's called Carleton Place. I am a almost third degree black belt. I'll be getting my third degree later this month under Brazilian Top Team. So Fabio Landa, Ben Morales, and then my main coach is my dad, Peter Tremblay. He owns a club here in Carleton Place called Alpha MMA. So he's been here for over 20 years. So that's what I do. I teach, train, kind of help him run the club as well. So it's been awesome.
It's in the family.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Runs in your blood.
Yeah, 100%.
Awesome. So how long have you been training?
So I've been training. I always get the math wrong. I've been training, I believe it's 18 years now, or just under that. Yeah, it's been a long time. I've always been involved with it just because my dad's always been teaching martial arts since I can remember. But when I was younger, I played I'm in Canada, right? So I played like competitive hockey and soccer. And then when I was 18, I got an opportunity to go play hockey on a scholarship in the States. I didn't take that opportunity. And then I was kind of looking for another sport to try. So my dad was like, why don't you just invest a little bit more time in jiu-jitsu? And then that's kind of how it took off from there. So
awesome.
Yeah.
Yay. Awesome. Yeah. You know, and I love that your dad was so encouraging of you to try other sports as well. Because I know, like sometimes you hear about these parents who are like, this is what I do. This is what we as a family do. Like, you're going to do it. Which,
I mean, they're like, it's funny, right? Because 100%. It was always something that like I did passively as a kid. And I always say that like I was super appreciative that both my parents never forced me to like do martial arts when I didn't really want to do it in a full commitment. Obviously like coming up the ranks and stuff, there's times when you like you question your commitment and you question how much you want to train. So, you know, there was definitely times where I was like, I don't think this sport is for me. I don't want to do it. But there was never this like absolute need to keep doing the sport, and there was never this push for me to be into it or like to feel like I needed to do this sport to have my parents' approval, which was always very welcomed and very, very appreciated.
Definitely. Yeah. I also was lucky that both of my parents were very supportive of whatever it is I wanted to do growing up. I did like half a season of soccer in the fourth grade and like, no, but like when I said I wanted to do soccer, you know, they got me the soccer stuff. I had the purple shin guards. Yeah. I had like the shoes and the stuff. And I mean, I had fun doing it, but then I just didn't continue with it.
Yeah, it's not your thing, right? And so much of being a kid is trying so many different things and figuring it out you know, where you want to put that time and where you want to put that energy, and letting your kids do that is, I think, really, really important.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I'm just really glad that you had that.
Me too. Me too.
You know, cause you know, not everybody has that.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay. So talking about jujitsu, from your story, it sounds like maybe you were really more into jujitsu, or you were doing more of jujitsu as you were coming into being a young adult.
Yep.
Would you like to share your story about jujitsu?
Yeah. Like preaching to the converted here, obviously, but like jujitsu is, it's great. Like, especially I think as a woman coming into a sport, now it's a lot better, but it's still very much like male dominated. So coming into a sport that's male dominated, it obviously has its challenges, but I think, you know, I was lucky enough to train in an environment with people that I really trust. I think having your dad as the head coach is also very helpful in that way. You know, you learn, again, you learn all of these skills in jiu-jitsu on the mats that you can then use in your real life, which I think to me has always been the biggest reason to do jiu-jitsu and to train, right? Is my dad says this all the time. And as I get older, you see it more, right? When you're a kid, you don't realize it as much, but all your personality flaws come out on the mats and come out in your training, right? So if you have a hard time handling pressure, if you have a hard time performing when the spotlight's on, or even just like, you know, if you have a hard time doing things that you don't want to do and showing up when you don't want to show up, those all get exposed on the mats in an environment where it doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things. And then you can use those skills to then become better in your personal life, which ultimately is, to me, is always the end goal. Like, it's great to win world championships, it's great to win tournaments, it's great to be good at a sport, but if you can't translate that into your relationships and into your personal life, what's the point, right? So being able to train and kind of come, like, figure out who I am through jiu-jitsu is such a cool experience. It's still happening to this day, but like, to go through those transformative years where you have an outlet, you have something to do, you have a goal that keeps you focused was just awesome.
Yeah. The truth is the truth, no matter what age you are, you know. Yeah. I didn't start it sounds like you did jiu-jitsu since, you know, kind of here and there as a kid, but then really sort of more focused as a young adult. I was almost 30 when I started.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was 29, just about to turn 29. And yeah, and so I was just, at first I was just kind of like, is this too, am I too old? Is it too late? Yeah. You know, whatever. But, you know, obviously I did it anyway, and here I am. But it's, you know, everything you just said, like, your personality flaws come out on the mats. Yeah, yes, they do. Yeah. But like you said, though, too, I mean, it is true, because then you see them and you kind of can't pretend that they're not there, but then you get to work on them.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
And I always commend people who start jiu-jitsu later, because like you said, starting it from, like, I was in it passively as a kid, but so as a kid, it's so much easier to learn. It's so much easier to pick stuff up. And then when I started it more consistently as a young adult, that like discomfort and that newness wasn't there. So like, as I started CrossFit when I was like mid-20s, and even just like having to learn something completely new, and like with my job, like I started policing at like almost 30 years old, to learn that completely new, it literally gave me such an appreciation for people that start jiu-jitsu older, because it's really hard to be successful and to have things in your life and then try something that you completely suck at and that you have no reference point for, and to be able to like push through that and to keep doing that. Like, I have such respect for people who start jiu-jitsu in like their middle age or like in their young adulthood, because that learning curve is steep and it's really, really hard to push through. And just that in itself is just so cool to see in people.
Yeah. And are you able to, because you are teaching at your school?
Yeah.
Are you able to see that coming out of other people?
It's so cool. It's so rewarding. And especially with the kids, like I mostly teach the kids classes. I have like a little group. Well, there's not, it's like a group of 30 kids now, but it's like our level 2 program. So it's a bit more of like the experienced kids. The age range is from 7 to about 12. And just even seeing them, like, you know, all those skills that you develop, and to be able to develop those skills at 8, you know, to like learn new things, to push through when you're uncomfortable, to like keep persevering. Like it's really cool to see that in people and to see them kind of grow as people. And it's, yeah, it's really cool. And in the adults too, like, you know, people come in and they're like, what is this sport? Like, why are you lying on top of me? Like, it's such a foreign thing that not a lot of people deal with in their life. Right. So to be able to see them kind of like go through that. And then one day it just clicks and they're doing stuff and you're just like, this, it's just so cool. It's the coolest thing.
Yeah. Learning how to be comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Which is hard to do as adults because we don't want to be uncomfortable.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
And yeah. And I have to say, like, I've seen some of the kids training and some of the kids like competing and stuff. They're just almost fearless, you know? Absolutely. Like it's almost like they're just vibes, you know, they're just there to have a good time.
It's dope. And it's like, I know how stressed like I get when I'm about to compete and all those nerves and all those like, and again, like I always say, it's like to be able to learn that like you can be nervous and you can be scared to do something, but like, and then to still go out and do it. Like that's just such a cool thing to learn at 8 years old, as opposed to having to learn it at 30 or, you know, like you just, your brain is way more susceptible to it anyway, but it's really cool to see that in kids. And they'll come up to me before tournaments and be like, I don't know what to do. Like, I feel really nervous. And it's like, yeah, that's okay. Like it's okay to feel nervous and those are normal feelings, but now you just have to learn how to handle those things. And then that's going to make them better people, which is just what jiu-jitsu has always been about.
Exactly. A hard agree.
Yeah. Hard.
full bodied agree.
Absolutely.
And you know, it's amazing that you're able to do those kinds of teaching to the kids, kind of get them started early, because it's really going to help them a lot as they grow up, as they go through that really awkward teenage years and the young adult years where they don't know what they're doing with their life. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what am I, what's even the point, you know, whatever. And that perseverance, that knowing that making mistakes is okay, like it's fine, it's no big deal, this is just, you just learn.
Yeah.
You know, obviously this is just an opportunity to be like, okay, well that didn't work.
Yeah,
the outcome is not favorable, so I need to adjust something and then try again.
Yeah. And the thing too is, if it's like, I find jiu-jitsu, what's really cool about jiu-jitsu is it's so like solution focused, right? So like if a move doesn't work, it's like, okay, that didn't work, what can I do to have it work next time? And that's such a like good approach to have in life. Like, okay, I didn't get, you know, I didn't make this team or I didn't get this promotion. What can I do next time to make it work? And to when you can approach things like that, it's just sets you up for success in so many more areas of your life, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And with my job, I work with kids, middle school, teenagers usually. And I try to tell them that as well, like in a non-jujitsu, but still applicable to life, you know, these are kids who maybe struggle with school tasks and things. And a lot of times what I've seen is like these kids, they tend to internalize these mistakes or like their bad grades as them being a bad person.
Yeah.
And then it just kind of spirals from there. Yeah. So I've been trying to help coach them, like, your worth as a person is completely separate from your performance in school. You know, your worth as a person never ever changes, and your performance in school is not permanent. Like, you can always make adjustments. I call it making adjustments.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I say when I'm on the mats too. It's like, oh, I gotta adjust. Oh, this didn't. Yeah. Oh, why can't it? Ah, that didn't work.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So yeah, jiu-jitsu really is for life. Like, jiu-jitsu is more applicable to life than I think people give it credit for.
And even for me, like, when I started jiu-jitsu, I started with the intention of like, hey, I'm doing this because I want to be a world champion, I want to compete as much as I can, that's so much part of my identity, like I am, you know, I'm going to be a world champion, and everything in your life kind of revolves around that. And now that I'm older, my like adult competition days are behind me, like I have a full-time job, I'm on shift work, like I'm planning the next chapter of my life. And it was a struggle, like, at first, right? Like, kind of, I started a new job, COVID happened, you're kind of like, okay, who am I now when I'm not trying to be this person in jiu-jitsu? But what was cool is now I have this new appreciation for it, because it's the constant in my life, right? Like, it's, jiu-jitsu will always be there.
Yes.
And there's always a place for it, regardless of what my goals are, it can still teach me something. And that took probably like 3 years. Like, I'm finally just kind of starting to understand that now. And it's like, no, I can still go to class. I can still train. I can still have little goals. And jiu-jitsu kind of just helps you. It helps. Yeah. It's just that always that constant, regardless of what your goals with it are, which I am very much appreciating now.
Definitely. Definitely. I think the pandemic did a lot to kind of, at least for me anyway, help me realize that, you know, if you take everything away, like if I can't even go outside, well, I could have gone outside, but my anxiety was really bad. So yeah. I didn't even go outside, but I was still, you know what I was doing though, was I was still taking virtual jiu-jitsu classes.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Like in this very room.
Yeah.
In, you know.
Yeah.
And I put my gi on and everything, and I'm like doing all the stuff, and like, I was like, I gotta get that jiu-jitsu. I have to.
Yeah. Cause it represents so much more. It's not just the, like the techniques and the, it's like, it's just so much more than that. Right. And it's just that it constant really place that can, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, jiu-jitsu was helping me hold on to my sanity.
No, 100%. 100%.
Yes. So you mentioned a little bit earlier about, you know, when COVID happened and like you weren't really competing, and then you had started a new job and things like that, and jiu-jitsu was still teaching you things.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about some of the lessons that you've been taught over the years?
Oh, there's so many, right? Like it's, to me, that's a big one, right? Cause it's,
yeah.
And especially for me, because I've done it through so many different places in my life, like the difference between me being 18 and me being almost 33 now, like I'm a completely different person from when I first started jiu-jitsu, right? Mm-hmm. So like at first jiu-jitsu was like that like taught you that like grittiness and that like that ability to like work through problems with your body but also with your mind and like kind of face who you are as a person and just deal with all of that stuff. But now it's kind of transitioned into like this, okay, I have all these experiences, good and bad, from jiu-jitsu. Like I've succeeded just as much as I failed. And now it's really cool to be able to kind of pass that on to the people coming up behind me, right? Like I said before, we have a great group of kids. We have a lot of adults that are kind of now getting into competing. And it feels really nice to be able to like take those experiences that I've had and pass them along to other people, because that's, again, that's what jiu-jitsu is too, right? And that's what life is it's, okay, I've done all these mistakes. Now I'm going to pass them on to you so that hopefully you don't have to do them. You don't have to go through those things. And then you can be a more successful version of whatever it is you want. So like if your goal is to become a world champion, okay, here's all the good things and the bad things that happened to me. Now maybe it won't be as hard for you as it was for me to be a world champ. And then if everyone can kind of do that, then everyone just gets better and better and better. And so that's really great. Jiu-jitsu's helped me have a lot more like empathy and understanding for people as well. Like if I look at where I was when I was 18 or even in my 20s, like as a full-time competitor, you're kind of like, well, why can't this person devote this much to training? Like, why can't this person just, you know, get their diet right and get all like, and now that I have other responsibilities, I'm like, okay, like I understand now why when you're, I mean, I, like you have, you know, I don't even have kids yet, but it's like when you're a single parent or you have kids and you're raising a family, like just you making it to class, like that's the win for the day. Like you being here on the mats, like, so it's, yep, it's cool because it's, you come into it as one person and you just grow as a person and you're like, okay, so now I just have a lot more empathy for people. Like I just, it's like, if you can be here and you can show up, that's all we need right now. You know, if you have 50 million other things going on, obviously it's different if you have a specific goal in mind, but, and so just creating that like open space for everybody where it's like, you know, jiu-jitsu is really for anyone. It's for anyone. If you want to become the best in the world at it, if you just want to come and have fun, if you just want to like deal with some demons on the mats, like it's literally for everybody. Right.
Yes.
And it's funny, but like doing jiu-jitsu for as long as I've done it has taught me that. Cause I think when you first start, especially for me, it was like, well, why train if you're not trying to become the best at it? And it's like, no, it doesn't have to be that at all.
Exactly. You know, and I think, like, I know some people in my life who have that kind of mindset where it's like, why would you do anything if you're not trying to do the best or try to be the best at it?
Yeah.
And, I mean, they think that way for very specific reasons. But it's, I think other people maybe have similar reasons why they think, like, well, why can't you be the best? It's like, well, because that's really not my goal. I don't necessarily want to be the best out of everybody else. I want to just be better, a better version of me than I was yesterday.
Exactly. And I, like my dad would always say, he always says this, but it's like, it's really easy to, you know, when you're 21, living in your mom's basement, like, yeah, it's really easy to go train 3 times a day and focus only on that, right? Where it's like, to be, where it's, to me, it's so much more impressive when you have success in like multiple avenues of your life, right? Because it's like, that takes so much balance and yeah, that's very impressive as well, right? So it's like, if you have a family, you have a successful job, you have a good relationships with your friends, and you're coming to jiu-jitsu and you're working on improving yourself, like that's amazing. Like that's so impressive and that's not a lot of things. That's not something that a lot of people want to do. And it's very cool to see that now.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people also, they might think that because they have all these things going on, that maybe they won't be able to also train.
Yeah.
And so that's, I'm also trying to get, you know, kind of the message out there that yes, adults can still train. Like obviously every individual has their own individual circumstances, but if this was something that you wanted to do, you know, it's, you can still do it. Like, cause you know, I train with so many ladies and men too, who are parents, who have full-time jobs. We've got people who are, you know, law enforcement officers. We've got people who are doctors, people who are like, I don't know, teachers, you know, travel agents, stay-at-home mom. Like we got all sorts of people and, you know, from all different walks of life and all different backgrounds and economic statuses and stuff. And yet they've decided like, this is something I want to do. I want to try it. Let me see if I can try it at least. And then it's just for them getting the courage to walk through the door.
Yeah, absolutely.
And give it a try.
Absolutely. And I think that's something I've always found is so interesting with jiu-jitsu too, is it attracts so many people from so many different walks of life. Like I find, you know, if sometimes like with certain stuff, it kind of attracts people from the same background or people of the same, where jiu-jitsu, like you'll be training with like teenagers, like we have doctors here, we have people in law enforcement, we have military members, we have like, you know, nurses, we have teachers, we have like, it's so cool to be around so many different people with so many different experiences and different facets of their life. Like I don't find there's anything I've ever done that has had that much like diversity in terms of who it attracts.
I would agree with that too. Yeah. There are so many people that train at my school that I don't think I ever would have been able to meet them in life if we didn't train together.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and it's like a brother, sister, family bond kind of a thing, you know?
Well, and cause you go through some pretty tough times with people on the mats, right? Like you, especially like, you know, you're putting yourself in bad positions to get better. Your trust. So it's like the trust you build with your training partners, because you're like, here, I'm showing you my weaknesses. I'm showing you where I'm vulnerable. And they're not like taking advantage of that. They're not exploiting that. So that trust that's built up with the people that you train with is so special.
It really is. And I love that you put it that way. It really is a building of trust, a bond that forms. And I'm glad that you were able to put it into words, because all the other people that I sat with interviews with, we all agreed that like we have this bond, but we weren't entirely sure how to put it into words about how that even happens in the first place.
Yeah. And I think that's why, right? It's because it's like even just something as basic as like, you have my arm in a Kimura and I'm going to tap and I'm trusting that you're going to let go of that arm, right? And then that's like the base level. But then it gets, as you get better, as we know, like you have to start to get to improve as you get better. You have to put yourself in those bad positions. So it's like, I'm going to go where I'm really uncomfortable and I'm trusting that you're not going to just like demolish me there, and you're going to have like hold space so that I can work on things and vice versa. And it's, the bond is just, it's awesome.
Yeah. And that's so important too, I think, because I've heard horror stories. Thank God it's not anything near to where I trip. Like my professor would never allow that.
Yeah.
But like I have heard horror stories from other places and stuff where they just kind of, the beginners are just there as fresh meat for the upper belts and stuff. And you just survive, and then you, that just kind of, that aggressor, that aggression just sort of trickles down through.
Yeah. And then the ones that can survive are then adopt that.
Yeah, mindset. Exactly. No, it's you're exactly right. It's in that whole like mindset thing. It just keeps getting perpetuated. So then when they go out into the world, they're like these aggressive, I would say egotistical people.
Yeah.
Cause they're like, well, I can beat you up kind of a thing, you know?
Which is just so funny to me, because if jiu-jitsu has taught me anything, it's that there's always somebody better. Like, there's always mm-hmm. somebody who can beat you up, no matter how yep. good you are, no matter how good you get. Even if you're the best in the world, you're not going to be the best in the world forever. Like, there's always exactly. someone who can. So it's like, I just find that so funny, because if anything, jiu-jitsu should teach you, like, grace and humility and humbleness. Yes. It's like, I'll never perfect this thing, and there's always going to be somebody better than me. And it, so exactly. I find that always so funny.
Exactly. And the fact that they don't seem to, the people with that like meathead mindset, I guess I'll call it, they don't seem to appreciate that even the beginners would have something valuable to offer them.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I keep saying this, like, I'm going to do a whole episode where I talk about, like, everybody has something to offer.
100%.
I learn things from white belts all the time.
100%. Even if it's just like, you know, like sometimes like we've had like, for whatever reason, the last few months in our club, we've been getting like some really strong, like big new guys coming in. And even just like, okay, now my technique has to be like perfect, because I can't. So those people, yeah, maybe their jiu-jitsu isn't great, but it forces me as like a maybe weaker female to like, mm-hmm. My technique has to be perfect on this, because exactly. if it's not, this person's just too strong that it's not yep. going to work. So it's like, even that, when yep. maybe they don't have any technical knowledge to share, but it's just like, oh no, I just have to get better at this. Like, it's just even that, you know?
Exactly. And that's a good lesson for me too, because what I find is when I go with somebody who's stronger than me, or maybe they're like bigger, larger, just in general, I have found myself wanting to try to match them strength mm-hmm. for strength.
Mm-hmm.
And I've started realizing that that's what I was doing. And I was like, I can't be doing that.
Yeah.
So, you know, so it's a really good learning opportunity for me as well. And to be able to refine that skill and be able to keep myself in control and like of myself during that situation mm-hmm. where I can see like, okay, I obviously can tell this person's using a lot of strength.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot also use my strength like that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I have to try to keep myself like, okay, if they're using strength like this, I have to maybe, I don't know, whatever, adjust the angle or like use
yep.
leverage or blah, 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 whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, oh, yeah, it's really valuable.
Absolutely.
You know? And also, vice versa, when I'm going with somebody who's smaller than me, lighter, or even younger, like sometimes the kids and teens will train mm-hmm. and stuff. And then I'm just like, I cannot be smashing a kid.
Yeah.
You know, like I have to adjust myself
yeah.
and go like super slow and like be super technical so that I'm not like accidentally crushing this kid's rib cage or something.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Agree.
Yeah. There's always value no matter who your training partner is.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, since we're talking about jiu-jitsu itself, I wanted to ask you, what are some of, because we talked about the lessons and how valuable it is, but I wanted to know, what are some of the, like, challenges that you've faced and overcome through the years?
Yeah, again, that's, like, that's such a big question, too, because, again, it's, like, you go through all of this stuff, but it's, you know, there's stuff, like, just so basic as, you know, to being, like, just the general grind of training, especially when I was younger and, you know, like winning worlds was a goal and all of these things. And it's like, just knowing that you're going to have days when you don't want to do it, and to surround yourself with people that like support you, and know when you're just having one of those days and you need to be pushed, but having people that also know when you like need that grace and you need that time to like, just chill. Like I remember was right the year right before it was 2012. It was right before I won Purple Belt Worlds, and it was like we were like 3 months out from Worlds, and I came up to my dad and I was like, I don't want to do jiu-jitsu anymore. I don't really like it. Like this is just, and he was like, you know what? He was like, you have Worlds in 3 months. He's like, just stick it out till then. Just keep, you know, keep plugging away at it, and just devote everything you have to it in these next 3 months. And then at the end of those 3 months, like if you still don't want to do it, cool, we can sit down and have that talk. And then I was like, okay. I was like, okay, cool. And I did it. And then I ended up winning Worlds that year. And you're just like, okay, like, you know, to even just like go through that period of not wanting to do something and having people in your life that are like, don't quit it. Like, just keep pushing through. I couldn't imagine like my life if I had quit when I wanted to quit. Right. And then you learn that like, okay, there's going to be times in every relationship, whether it's with a person, a sport, whatever, mm-hmm. where you don't want to be in that relationship. You don't want to do it anymore. And to learn, like, that's just part of life. There's highs, ebbs and flows, peaks and valleys. And, you know, how high your peak can get is how hard you work when you're in those valleys. Right. And how you can learn to keep pushing, you know, and again, just that grind, like that work ethic, I think jiu-jitsu teaches you is just so mm-hmm. important, especially in like today's world where I find sometimes like that work ethic isn't as prominent in people as maybe it was, you know, 50 years ago, to just have something where it's all it is it's just time in, it's just time and effort in, and learning that is like, okay, I just have to keep grinding. And if I keep grinding and I keep doing things right, eventually it's going to pay off for me. And learning, like, even with me, like, when I was doing jiu-jitsu earlier, I was in school full-time, I was working full-time, and just learning how to prioritize, how to schedule things, like, learning, you know, the value of your own time and prioritizing what's most important to you. And there's going to be trade-offs, there's going to be things like, you know, I don't get to go to every bachelorette party and every wet, like, you know, there's holidays that you have to cancel, and just learning, like, if this is important to me, like, this is the priority, and learning how to do that is great too, right? But it's hard. It's hard when you're in your mid-20s and all your friends are going out to the bar and you're like, oh no, I'm just going to stay at home tonight because I have jiu-jitsu tomorrow, or I have a tournament coming up in a month, so I can't get faced with everybody. Mm-hmm. Like, that's hard. It sounds silly, but like, those are hard things to go through sometimes. And it can be very isolating. It can feel very lonely mm-hmm. sometimes, but you know, if it's important to you, it's worth it in the end, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it's, you know, in your going to the bar with your friends example, it's not necessarily the drinking part of it that is being missed. I would go to as far as to say it's the socialization, it's the camaraderie, it's the being around your friends and just like going out and having fun together, you know, and that's...
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, please.
My dad always had this great line, and it's something like I would say to myself all the time and still do, is it's like, if you want to achieve what very few people achieve, you have to be willing to do things that very few people are willing to do. And it's like, look at what everyone else is doing. They're not going to achieve what you want to achieve. And it can, like you said, it can be very isolating. It can be very lonely sometimes, but that's the trade-off if you want to achieve something that no one's going to achieve. Is there's not going to be a lot around people around you that are doing the same thing.
Exactly. Would you like to talk more about the time that you spent as a competitor?
Yeah, it like super fun. The most fun ever. Like, it's obviously challenging. It's super hard. Again, what I always loved is I always had someone like my dad. My brother's a black belt too. He lives in Toronto right now, but I always had them, like, I grew up, like, came up training with my dad and my brother. And so as a competitor, it was always great to have someone, two people in my corner that like their advice was always going to be great for what I needed as a competitor. But ultimately at the end of the day, their advice was always great for what I needed as a person. Like they didn't care more about my athletic achievements than they did me. Right. So that was always wonderful. But I've like through jiu-jitsu and through competing, like, I've been able to travel all over the world. Like, I've been to Abu Dhabi 6 times for like the Abu Dhabi World Pro. I've gotten to go to like Sweden, Colombia with like the JJIF, and then obviously like going to Worlds every year. Like, that's always fun. But it's, you know, so to put in all this work and then to be able to at the end of it to be like a 4-time IBJJF World Champion, a 2-time IBJJF World Champion, a 2-time JJF World Champion, and then like have a bunch of Nogi Pan titles, Nogi World titles as well. Like, it was so fun and so much of like a awesome way to grow up. Like, you grow up putting yourself out there, doing things that are challenging and hard, but then you also get to travel to all these places, meet all of these wonderful people, experience all these different cultures. Like, it just sets you kind of up to enter into like the real world, so to speak, with just all of this like experience under your belt and having been like tested too. Like, it's mm-hmm. you know, you can handle stress, you can handle pressure, you can handle being starving and like weight cutting and like going through all that hard physical stuff and still mentally being able to push through at the end of the day, right? So it like the titles and stuff was super fun, but it's also just really cool to see that translate into my personal life, like with my relationships and here being at the club, like, because yeah, at the end of the day, I like I said this before, nobody's gonna give a crap how many world titles you have if you're not a nice person and you're not like people don't like being around you and you don't, you know, add value to people's lives. Like, what's the point, right? Like, it just seems wasted to me. It always did.
Yeah. And it sounds like you had a really good support system behind you.
Yeah. And it like, absolutely. I always say that first, but it's, you know, you still get all the like trials and tribulations of family stuff too. And it would get super like foggy and hard sometimes, right? Because, you know, my dad and I always laugh. We laugh about this now, but there was like one time I lost this match. I shouldn't have lost. And there's a way when you have a performance as an athlete that your coach is going to talk to you, right? Like, there's a way he should talk to you. Like, if you have a goal in mind and you don't perform up to that goal, sometimes there needs to be that like tough love kind of talk, right? But so you come off the mats, you're tired, you're like emotionally upset, and then it's your dad who's giving you that speech, right? And so it's like that line gets very blurred sometimes because you're just like, I just want my dad to say that he loves me and he's proud of me. But it's like, okay, so you have to remember, like, this person isn't talking to you as a parent, they're talking to you as a coach. But it was super hard, like, it sometimes still is, right? But again, it's so great to always have like your family literally in your corner every single time. Like, that's something I would never take away, but the lines do get blurry a lot, right? And you have to be like, no, this is my coach talking to me, my dad isn't mad at me, my, you know, so that's always a challenge, but it works itself out in the end.
Yeah. I just remembered the thing I wanted to say earlier, and I don't remember where I wanted to insert it, but basically it was a proverb from, I don't know where, a different country. And it says, if you want to go fast, go alone.
Yeah.
If you want to go far, go together.
I love that. Yeah.
I love that too. And I was just like, doesn't that just embody jujitsu? Like, we're over here supporting each other.
The older I get, the more you just realize that, right? Like, it's about the people. It's about who you're going there with, right? Because at the end, it's like, again, like I was saying, cool, you win a world title. But like, if you got nobody there to like enjoy it with you, what's the point? Like, I don't know, maybe some people think there is, but like, to me, it was always like, there's, if I don't have supportive people around me and I don't enjoy who I'm around, like, it doesn't matter what color that medal is around my neck, like, it's not important, you know. And yeah, and that's something I love like about our gym is we're small town, we're such a family oriented gym. Like, we have, you know, kids and then their parents train and then they all train together. And it's so cool to see that and to be able to have a place where everybody can come together and train with like their whole family and stuff.
Yeah, definitely. And that is one of the green flags that I mentioned in like my second episode ever about when people are looking for a gym, how can you tell if there's a good one? And like, having jujitsu, the mindset of that jujitsu is for everybody, like, you know, training kids, training adults, training their parents, like older, you know, middle-aged people, maybe even if people want to start when they're like 60.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like Jujitsu Grandma on Instagram.
Oh God, I like, she's my hero. I cry every like, time I watch.
Exactly. And like, and she's like in her 70s, I think. She's 70 something. And she's a purple belt. And it's like, well, obviously, if you're 70 something and a purple belt, she's probably been training for like, I don't know, 4 or 5 years or so. Yeah. So she would have been, I don't actually know how old she is, but like, you know, 60s or 70s when she started.
Wild.
So it's,
wild.
It's like, if your gym, you know what I mean? Like in general, like speaking to everybody, if your gym doesn't let 60 something year old ladies come and start at the gym, then maybe you need to find a new gym.
Absolutely. Well, so, and what's interesting with like where we live is, again, we're like 30 minutes outside of Ottawa. We're a pretty small town. It's growing, but most people, right, they live their whole lives there, or they, until they're 18, they go off to university, they'll travel far away, and then they come back when they're like ready to settle down. They have kids, they have a family. So compared to like a lot of other gyms, we're like mostly kids and then like middle age and up, right? Because we don't have that. You know, we don't have that plethora of 20 to 25 year old dudes who just, you know, are staying, like, nobody really stays here in Carleton Place. So we kind of, not that we were forced to have that, but like, it's also like with my dad, like he's always been like that, where like you can start jiu-jitsu at any age. There's always a place in your life for it, no matter what your goal is. And it's always been so much importance of like, maybe you're training to become something in jiu-jitsu, but you got to look and see where your partner is and make it so that your role is mutually beneficial, so that both people are getting something out of that role and enjoying their time. If both people aren't having fun, like this isn't going to work. And even like me as like a black belt, I can, like we were saying before, I can still go and get something out of a white belt or a newer blue belt, where it's just like, it just has to be a bit more intentional with your training. And you just have to kind of force yourself to work on those things than you would if you were just getting beat up by everybody.
Yeah. And there's, you know, there's really value in nurturing the beginners, basically. Mm-hmm. Nurturing the people who are coming after us, because those are still my training partners.
Yeah.
You know, like I still, you know, and I've said this to some beginners who I've talked to, both on and off the podcast, where they've admitted, and I can empathize because I felt that way too, but they've admitted to being like, oh, I don't want to go with, you know, sometimes I feel bad going with the upper belts because then I just feel like I'm wasting their time. And I'm like, no, you're not. Never ever feel bad for training with anyone, because, you know, and I've told them, I was like, listen, you are my training partner.
Yeah.
You know? It's point blank, period. There's no caveats. You're my training partner. I want to train with you. Every time we train is going to be good.
So much of it too, right, is it's like, I can remember being a new white belt, or, and you know, and you as well. And the time that those higher belts take to like help you and work with you isn't taken lightly. And so it's kind of like, it's now your responsibility to pay that back, to like, you know, to now give that to the lower belts. And then again, like we were talking about earlier, if everybody just does that, if everybody just helps people along the way, you now have this great culture in your club where everybody's helping everybody, and it's this like collaborative thing. And it's not just like, no, I'm here to get my role. Like, it's like, no, we're all working together. We're all trying to get better. I'm going to help you just as much as somebody helped me when I was in your shoes. And like, you should want to pay that back, right? Because it...
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think, because we were talking earlier about the kind of like meathead mindset that gets trickled down into certain clubs, you know, where it's like survival of the fittest, and then you get to turn around and like chew up and spit out everybody else.
People sharpen steel. That's my favorite quote.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yes, but like maybe not in that kind of mindset, because I've actually said that proverb to some of my friends on the mats, is, you know, so like, as iron sharpens iron, so one friend sharpens another. So because they'll come back after like a hiatus for whatever reason, and they're like, oh, like I'm out of shape, I'm this, like I've forgotten all my jiu-jitsu. And so I'll tell them that, mm-hmm. I'll quote that proverb. I was like, we're gonna get you, like, don't worry about it, we're here. I've got you. Just do what you can. Your body's going to remember. If your mind think, even if your mind thinks that you've forgotten, your body will remember. It'll come back. Don't worry about it. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And it's that kind of encouragement that I got at, you know, because I've had like health problems in the past and whatever, and like I've taken hiatuses before, and every time I come back, I'm like, oh god, no, I've been away for so long, blah, blah, blah. And every time I come back, like the people who are there at my school, they see my face and they're like, Stacey, yeah, good to see you. I was like, oh, it's good to see you guys too. Thank you. You know, and so it's just nice to have that, and it's nice where I just, you know, if I tell people, it's like, oh, you know, I haven't been here for a while. Like, I don't know if I know what to do anymore. And because those words have come out of my mouth.
Yeah.
And my training partner has said to me, it's okay, don't worry about it. We can just drill. Like, we'll get you practice back up. Don't worry about it.
I think what I see so much of that, like, iron sharpens iron mindset, though, in terms of being used as like an excuse to like beat the crap out of your partner, you know, or just to like completely like go as hard as you can and like destroy them. And if they can't keep up, it's like, so, you know, it's like, but I like your version of it way better, right? Where it's like, no, we're just working together to get to the same goal. We're not trying to like beat the crap out of each other every single role. And like, if you can't keep up, too bad, go find somewhere else to train, kind of thing, you know?
Yeah. I like my version a lot better too.
I like it a lot better.
Well, because I feel like I say kind of both halves of the quote.
Yeah.
It's not just as iron, it's iron sharpens iron, it, you know, comma, so one friend sharpens another. It's like, absolutely, we're friends, yeah, here, we're here, absolutely, to help each other out, you know? Yeah,
absolutely.
It's like iron sharpens iron. Yes, comma, yeah, and.
I like that second part. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Anyway, so what would you say after, even after listening to this whole conversation and hearing how brown and black belts and like people with experience still view beginners as valuable training partners and how jujitsu really is for everyone and kids and teens and adults and everybody, if they're still nervous or hesitant about starting, what would you say to those people?
I would say do your research, right? Like, obviously, like, look up if you're still feeling that itch and you're just like, I think this is something I want to do. Do your research. Go to a variety of different clubs in your area. I find sometimes with martial arts, for whatever the reason, is you just kind of Google, like, BJJ in Ottawa. And the first club that comes up, you're like, oh, that's the club I'm going to. It's like, take your time. You know, most clubs offer trial classes. Go to a plethora of clubs. See which one you like best, especially nowadays. Information is so easily accessible to everyone. You know, you can see YouTube videos. It's not this hidden secret anymore. So the biggest thing for me is you have to train at a place where you're comfortable. You have to train at a place that has the same culture and the same values as you do. Talk to the instructors. The instructors are going to be the culture setters of the club. So if you're not getting along with the instructors or you think that there's something off with the instructors, you're probably not going to like the students, right? So that would be the biggest thing, is just cast your net out wide and go somewhere where you feel comfortable. Don't worry about, you know, oh, this gym has more titles than this gym, and this gym, you know, the guys look more jacked than the people here. So they must, it's like, you have to train where you feel the most at home. And I find you tell people that and they're like, oh yeah, like it. And you really do feel like that. Like, there are clubs where you're walking, you're just like, these are just great people. And that's way more important than any accolades that a gym is touting that they have. You know, that's my opinion.
Well said. Well said.
Yeah. You have to feel comfortable.
Yeah, for sure. And because it kind of is like a family, you know, and it's like, yeah, if you have friends that something seems a little off about them, and then you go to their house and you meet their parents, and you're just like, oh,
yeah, now I get it.
Now I understand, but I don't know if I want to keep coming over here, though.
And you're going to learn, you learn so much more when you're like relaxed and you feel at ease and you feel at home. Yes. Like, if you're like stressed all the time, you're not even going to learn anything anyway. So it's
because you'll be too afraid to make mistakes.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You know, you won't feel safe making any mistakes because, I mean, for whatever reason that you're not comfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so, I mean, in jiu-jitsu, you kind of have to make mistakes.
Yeah.
It's the only way. Like, it's a prerequisite. The only way. You have to.
You have to. It's the only way. It's the one thing that is inevitable with jiu-jitsu.
Yes.
You will make mistakes.
So, Allison, do you have any final thoughts?
I don't think I feel like we talked a lot about a lot of same theme, but like a lot of things. No, just like, thank you so much for having me on. I think it's awesome that you're doing this. Like, it's still such an underrepresented community in jiu-jitsu of people. Like, there's so many people from so many different backgrounds, and it's just cool that you have a platform where you can share those stories, right? Because there's so much, yes, value in all of that. So thank you.
Well, thank you for saying that. Yeah, and that's also why I wanted to have this topic this season, this theme, is because I wanted to share people's stories. And, and you know, somebody's story, I'm sure, is going to resonate with someone else out there who then thinks like, oh, yeah, if she could do it after all the stuff that happened to her, or if she could do it, then maybe I can do it too.
I got asked to speak at work. We had this like women in law enforcement like event, and I got asked to speak, and that was honestly what my theme was, is like, just share your story. Like, just talk about it, because I know for me, like, there's been times in jiu-jitsu where I'm like, oh, can I still do this? Like, I don't know. Like, and you have all these excuses, and then you just see someone talking about their struggles and you're like, I have those struggles too. And you're like, and look at her, she's doing it, or they're doing it. Like, okay, cool. I can still do this. And thanks to this person, I know that it's possible. Like, I find we have such a we just always talk about things that go great and things that, you know, when everything works out smoothly, that's when we brag about it. But it's like, you can also brag and talk about your struggles, because so many people are going through so many things. And just to hear, to be able to relate to someone else makes the world of difference.
Definitely. And having that kind of inspiration and encouragement where you see another woman who has similar circumstances to you, and she's doing the thing that you weren't sure if you could do.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, you know, then it can be inspirational. Be like, oh, maybe I can, yeah. You know?
Yeah.
It's like, sometimes we don't know we might be able to do a thing until we're kind of told we could do a thing. Mm-hmm. One quick example, if I may.
Yeah.
Before we wrap up. I was a freshman in college. I was taking a women's self-defense class with my college roommate, because in the campus that we lived at, it was kind of like a campus in part of a nature preserve. Okay. So there was lots of land. Everything was kind of widespread. And also in southern Illinois, it gets dark early mm-hmm. in the fall. So we were a couple of 18-year-old girls having to walk from our dorm across campus, which is like a 10-15 minute walk. And even though there's, you know, of course they had like the little lights on the paths and stuff, but it's just like, it's still dark. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we took the self-defense class and I loved it so much that the next semester I took a kickboxing class with the same instructor. She was she's a female instructor who was like a MMA, not like super famous one, but she had competed in MMA before. And it was during that second semester kickboxing class that she looked at me in my face and said, "Stacey, wow, you're a natural athlete." Mm. And I did like the look around type of deal. I was like, "Me? Like, are you sure? Are you talking to the right person?" I was like, She's like, "Yes, you're a natural athlete." And then it I kind of sat with that for a second. I was like, well, maybe I am.
Yeah.
You know, like I had never, ever, ever thought in my life that I was a natural athlete, because I was never athletic as a kid. Like I wasn't into sports. I was all, you know, whatever. But it took her telling me that before I was like open to the possibilities. Like, okay, well, maybe I am. Maybe I am an athlete. Okay. I can do athletic things. Yeah. You know, so it's kind of like, I kind of want the same thing for other women who maybe hear all these different stories where they're just like, oh, you know, she's similar to me. She's doing it. Maybe I can too. You know, it's kind of like that version of telling someone that they're an athlete.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely. Couldn't agree more.
So, be that person for someone else, I guess.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you. It was so fun. Thank you so much. I loved it.
Thank you. All right. That was Allison Tremblay. I had such a great time talking with her. I hope that you all enjoyed listening to the interview. And there's a few reminders that I want to share with you before we sign off. The first one is actually something new. And the new development is that I have a Linktree now. And if you're wondering, what is a Linktree? Linktree is a website where you can go and all of your links for various places are all in one place. They're in one spot. So, and I have a few links for things. So I have links to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Instagram, Patreon, merch, Facebook, like... Oh, I have a lot of things. I do have a lot of things. Oh my goodness. Anyway, so I have all of those links just in one spot. So if you just click on the Linktree link, because I've updated Facebook page with the Linktree link. I've updated Instagram with the Linktree. And I'm going to start putting it in all of the episodes. I don't think I'm going to go back and edit all of the previous episodes, because if we're honest, that's a lot of work and I don't really have time for that right now. So I'm going to start putting my link tree in as a link in the description box of every episode, like starting now from here on out. So that is a new development. I'm kind of excited about that. And I made it kind of purpley, like the background, you know, you can like customize it and like choose your background and stuff. And I made it kind of purpley because that is my favorite color. So I'm excited for that. And then everything else is just kind of the usual stuff. If you've listened to episodes before, then you already know what this is. If you haven't, then let me tell you. So where can you find me? You can email me if you need to tell me something or if you want to ask questions or, you know, connect me with somebody that you think would be a great person to have on the podcast, or even if you want to be a guest on the podcast, you can email me. That is jujiterraspodcast@gmail.com. You can also send me messages on Instagram. So I have two Instagram accounts. There's the podcast Instagram, of course, which is jujiterraspodcast. And then I have my athlete Instagram, which is like me as an athlete. And that's called Jujiterra, which is where the name of the podcast came from. So that's me on Instagram. My DMs are open. If you guys need to ask me anything or tell me anything or whatever, then you can do that there. I do have a Facebook page, but I think I said this a little bit earlier, is the Facebook page is honestly just a page. I do update it with all of the new episodes and things, and I updated the Facebook page with the link tree, so that is in there as well. But I'm not like constantly in there. Like I'm not monitoring messages or whatever. Like, do you know what I mean? So the Facebook page, it is there for people who don't like other social medias if they want to keep up with what's happening. So the Facebook page is there, but just full disclosure, I'm not hanging out there all the time. But it's there. The other place I'm really hanging around a lot is Patreon. I am posting exclusive content on Patreon for my patrons. All patrons get early ad-free access to every single episode. I also post like polls and sneak peeks of stuff, like when I'm designing new merch. I have 3 unique designs, which I designed myself. There's the podcast logo that you can put on a t-shirt, which I have, and I've put it on stickers too, and I'm super, super excited about that. Then there's a different logo with just the podcast name, because I figured some people who might like to support the podcast but maybe not have something with my face on it might like to have something else. So I designed that. And then I have my newest design, which is the Chronic Illness Jiu-Jitsu Club. And I have that in a t-shirt, which ironically I am wearing right now. And stickers. I bought myself a sticker and I bought myself a t-shirt because I was super excited. Because I made merch that I would want to wear. So anyway, I have merch. So if that sounds like something that you would like, if you want some stickers or like a magnet or like coffee mug or even a t-shirt or whatever, that is my TeePublic store. And I have that linked in my link tree. So you can go there and browse whatever you like. And also, just a reminder, the biggest way you can support the podcast, and honestly, if you listen to other podcasters, this is how you can support them too. If you don't want to like spend any money, which is totally fine, the biggest way you can support the podcast is to listen to the episodes, rate it on whichever platform you're listening to it on, like give it a rating, and leave a review. Because then, like, the more ratings and reviews the podcast has, the more that the algorithm is going to notice, like, oh, people really like this, and they're going to start pushing it out to more people. It's going to start getting on people's, like, For You pages or whatever. And that's not really going to happen if nobody really knows about it. So listen to the episodes, share with your friends, rate it on the platform you're listening on, and then leave a review. Listen, y'all, I really like reading reviews. I only have a couple so far, so thanks to those people who left those. Listen, if you like something that you're hearing, if you like something that I'm doing, please say so. if you don't like something that I'm doing, please email me and tell me what you don't like so I can work on trying to fix it. And then leave me a review with what you do like. Like, maybe it's like, maybe he's like, oh, she's, this is a great idea. And then you email me and do something with, like, I don't know, audio editing or whatever. I don't know. Anyway, so there's that. So I hope that if you have listened this far, thank you so much for being here. And I am wishing all of you to stay safe and be well. And I will see you next time. Thank you so much for listening. If you would like to connect with me while you wait for the next podcast episode, find me on Instagram at Jujiteta's Podcast and at Jujiteta. I'm also on Facebook at Jujiteta's Podcast. You could also email me at jujiteta'spodcast@gmail.com. If you would like to support me in this podcast, you can visit me on Patreon at Jujiteta's Podcast, where you get early ad-free access to all episodes, plus some bonus content. You could also find me on buymeacoffee.com at Jujiteta's Pod. Thank you so much for listening. Remember to rate and review. See you next time.